Hey everyone, Future Gabe here. Before today's episode, I wanted to let everyone know that we have listed a link to the Middle Eastern Children's Alliance to help provide emergency funding to the families forced to leave their homes in Gaza. Our donations will go towards hospitals and other emergency relief centers. We encourage you to please donate and help those who are suffering. Please remember that this is a humanitarian crisis and we must do our part. The link will be in our episode bio and will be on our social soon. Thank you, and on with the show. Hello, and welcome back to Cream of the Crop, the show where we skim over the absolute delight that is the top of cinema. My name is Gabe.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Jake.
How are we doing, everyone?
I'm just great after that intro.
I'm doing fantastic.
That's great. Gabe, how are you feeling? How are you doing?
I'm very tired,
Yeah.
but I'm here.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. How are you?
That's not allowed.
You need to wake the fuck up
This
along with
is.
the rest of the world. I'm great. I'm also tired. I'm not looking forward to this weekend. I think, well, hang on.
Damn, okay.
No, hang on.
Jesus Christ.
I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I'm not looking forward to Sunday.
Okay.
Tomorrow's gonna be fun. Tomorrow is Gabe's birthday, and I'm helping out on a film set with them. And then, are we doing a watch party tomorrow night? Oh, well, that's stupid. Did you want to go out? Okay, cool. So we're going out tomorrow night, and then Sunday. You guys will never guess what company is at the other hotel that I work at on Sunday. What company I'm setting up an event for?
Brazzers.
Dick's
I
Sporting Goods.
fucking wish.
Dick's Sporting
I
Goods.
fucking wish it was Browsers. No.
Jazzy's tail is hitting my leg.
Yeah, her nose is between my legs.
It South American Corpo?
No. It's a
Can you tell us?
fashion company.
Victoria's Secret.
No. I wish. No.
RuPaul.
No. No. Chanel. Chanel is having a corporate
Twain.
meeting thing, I don't know, at the other hotel that I work at, on Sunday, and I don't know. I don't know how I feel. I'm not excited because it's a lot of setup and it's going to be kind of complicated and I'm not excited about that, but it's only like 3 hours out of my day that I have to work on this, so it's not that bad, and there are going to be two other people there to help me. I'm just not looking forward to it because it is a slightly complicated set, you know?
Tell them
That's the
to
only
sponsor
reason.
us.
Chanel sponsors bottom of the barrel. Wouldn't that be the day? But other than that, I'm doing good. Gabe and I had a ton of fun last night.
Yeah.
Ooh.
We went out
You
for.
say ew or ooh?
You.
Oh.
Well, fuck
You.
you.
Damn.
We had lunch with some of Gabe's friends for their birthday, and then we went to the arcade, and then we had a watch party
Yeah.
for a really good show that I highly recommend. But fuck Netflix for canceling it. It's called I'm Not Okay With This, starring Sophia Lillis and Wyatt Olef, and I highly recommend it. It's very good. There's only one season, so prepare to be angry as fuck about it. But Jake, I've rambled for too long. How are you doing? Any more specifics or small talk you want to get through?
Now you can talk more.
Well, I'm about out. I'm a bit winded. Gabe, anything else you want to add? Everybody wish Gabe a happy birthday, by the way. Because by the time you hear this, chances are good that it's past Gabe's birthday. So please wish Gabe a happy 22nd birthday.
Yeah. Old.
Yay! Old.
Yeah, I'm aware, Jacob.
We went out to dinner or for lunch yesterday, and Gabe asked if they were eligible for the senior citizen discount, which I know is a stupid joke, but
Wow, okay, yeah, no, it was a stupid joke.
it wasn't good, but I just thought I would
It was
mention it.
dumb. It was stupid.
Since we were on the
Yeah,
old train, I thought I would mention it.
Yeah, you might as well mention your terrible jokes.
Yeah, I like doing that.
Yeah, but today, guys, we have an interesting movie that we're talking about. A movie that I think is quite underappreciated, and I feel like most people share that sentiment. It is the 2005 animated picture Robots.
Yeah,
not a lot of people talk about this movie.
And more people should.
Yeah.
This was at least one of my favorite movies starring Robin Williams in his voice acting.
Which is funny because it's not really like what you think of when you think of a Robin Williams movie.
I know, but it's so good. No, when I think of Robin Williams, I think of
Flubber.
I think of, what is it? One hour photo?
Oh, 1 hour photo. Yeah.
I think of 1 hour photo. So amazing Robin Williams movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Amazing. But no, when I think of Robin Williams voice acting, I think of Fender from Robots. So the plot of this movie is capitalism? Question mark.
I mean, yeah, 100%. Like, it's very much is a very relevant, will always be relevant about rich people exploiting the poor and doing whatever they can, even if it ruins lives and kills people. Yeah, it's, yeah. And how companies that have good intentions will be taken over by rich, greedy assholes and be turned into terrible things. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know a guy who would love this movie. His name is Brendan Lee Mulligan.
I have a list of people and CEOs I wish were dead. Let's go over them.
Oh, shit.
No, it's fine.
I have an itemized list.
Speaking of which, the Met Gala was a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, this movie
rich people.
Yeah, this movie very much is about just taking care of each other because we're struggling. People are going to exploit us, so we need to take care of each other and fight against the exploitation, which is a very on-the-nose movie.
But not at the... I feel like now more than ever, at least our generation is much more aware of capitalism and its negative effects. So when this movie came out, I don't think people got it. Like, it wasn't as big of a hit as one might think. And I don't think people really kind of gave it a chance because they didn't understand it. But now, yeah, more than ever, it's really relevant.
I think I've seen more people now talking about it than I had whenever it came out, you know?
Yeah, it can be very easily written off as funny, silly robot movie and not like...
Sure.
Because it's even with the message it does tell, it's not that deep. It's very like blatant of like, hey, rich person and terrible, let's take care of each other and just do good for each other and healthcare and stuff like that, and it's like it's like people ignored it because it's not like not only do a lot of people write off animation and like the messages animation might have,
right,
but also even at the time I don't even think the movie was as popular as a bunch of other animated movies that people still talk about and still bring up, like,
yeah. Unfortunately, it's kind of an overlooked movie, unfortunately, which is sad because it has one of the best soundtracks ever.
Yeah, soundtracks pretty good.
Hit me, baby, one more time.
Okay, I was looking over the cast list for this movie. I did not know that Amanda Bynes voices Piper. What the fuck? I had no idea. Drew Carey is in this. Jennifer Coolidge, obviously. Terry Bradshaw. Ewan McGregor. Halle Berry. Mel Brooks. This is like a stacked cast, personally, I think.
Yeah.
Like 100%. Like
Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, I love that man. Every time I think of Paul Giamatti, I think of Turbo. I love this out because he has so many other good movies, but that's every time I think.
Yeah. This Okay, so for those of you that don't know, this is a movie that came out in 2005. It's a PG rated movie that's an hour and 31 minutes long. It's an animation about a robot named Rodney, who is his father is a dishwasher, basically.
Literally.
He's a literal dishwasher. And he grew up poor and only got hand-me-downs, but he was inspired by this inventor called Big Weld. And so that's what he wants to be when he grows up, as an inventor. That's what he loves to do.
He wants to be an inventor.
And so he goes, he leaves home and he travels to the big city and realizes how shit the world really is, because newsflash, Big Weld has been basically pushed out by a shiny new robot that's going to take over the company and exploit the poor and make money, and then saves the day by bringing back Big Weld.
Yeah, and
that's the basic of it, I guess.
One thing I will mention is that this is made by Blue Sky.
Hell so yeah!
If you know Blue Sky and how they don't exist anymore, it's like they made Nimona. They've made a couple of
the Ice Age movies.
Yeah, Ice Age.
Blue Sky made Nimona.
Yeah, they were working on Nimona.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then the project was canceled by Disney once Blue Sky was gone rid of.
Fuck that.
The Nimona was picked up by another company and was continued with and also Nimona is pretty blatantly queer, so also there's questions about Disney just doing that. Doing what Disney does. So
damn.
So Blue Sky deserves a lot of respect for their work, and it's unfortunate that they were thrown away, unfortunately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was just looking, I was on IMDb, and there's a user list on here of list of Blue Sky Studios production babies. It's all the Ice Age, the Horton Hears a Who, Rio, I forgot that the Rio movies were Blue Sky.
Yeah.
Epic, the really awful movie called Epic.
Not very good.
The Peanuts movie, Ferdinand.
With John Cena?
Yeah. Spies in Disguise. There's a child yelling outside. Okay. Shut the fuck up.
I forgot it. I forgot that Spies in Disguise came out.
Yeah. Let's see. That's about it. All the side Ice Age stuff, all the small stuff. That's about it. I forgot that the Rio movies were Blue Sky.
I know.
Oh, freaking love Rio. Probably the best family dynamic in a movie.
Which is funny, because they're not family. Or do you mean Ewan McGregor's family?
I mean Ewan McGregor's family. Oh, okay. I mean literally his Rodney's mom and dad and him. Great supportive family dynamic. Growing up, the family couldn't afford a lot, so that he always got hand-me-downs, but he was very okay with it, accepted it with grace and whatever. And they supported his tinkering and inventing and whatever. And of course, whenever he goes to leave, of course his mom is fighting to try and make him stay, because it's a parent. You don't want your child to leave home. But at the train station, the mom is doing her thing of trying to keep him there, whatever, and convince him to stay. And the dad's nah, go out, do your thing. He's whenever I was young, I wanted to be a musician, but my dad thought I could never do anything, so he had me refitted to be a dishwasher.
Which that's a whole other sidebar of this movie, where it's you don't have bodily autonomy in a way.
Right.
You can just be rebuilt.
Exactly. Yeah, let's talk about the mechanics of this movie for a second. Because the whole reason why these robots are all up in arms with this new tech company is because they're being quote-unquote outmoded, which means the Big Weld company is no longer making their parts, which means they're aging out and they're going to die and fall apart, basically.
Just
turn into scrap.
Exactly. So once, and then once they turn into scrap, they get like melted down and turned into the new parts.
Yeah.
Which is awful to think about. It's like, imagine if these were humans and we were just combining all these scraps to make new humans.
Which, granted, it's like its own world, but you know,
it's its own world.
Still kind of morbid.
Right. It's morbid to think about.
Yeah, the company's only making like parts that are that fit a specific form and are only for the rich.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can afford it, you can you can live well. But if you can't, you're just gonna die. Which you can see the parallels of. You need to afford this stuff to live, but we're gonna make it expensive and let people die because we want money.
Right, and we don't want to look at these ugly scraps on the street. You know, more of like a, is a joke at the beginning of the movie of they literally have to build their son, Rodney. He comes in like a box and they have to build it like an IKEA piece of furniture, like an IKEA dresser or whatever. And they get it, they're finished building him. And the mom's like, "Hey honey, what are those like spare parts over there in the corner?" And he's like, we wanted a boy, right? Assuming that's his dick laying over in the corner. And so they just attach it with a fucking hammer.
In the beginning of the movie, there's a lot of out-of-pocket jokes.
Yeah!
Especially whenever, the mom is like, and the fun part, making the baby. Like, the box of parts. It's just like...
Right.
They definitely make a lot of jokes like that in this movie, especially near the beginning.
Definitely, yeah. So, we can only assume that it's like, this is like a Mr. Potato Head situation where you just attach and detach body parts however you want.
Yeah, so like being trans in this robot world is like really easy.
This is every day for them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, bodily autonomy is like a whole other issue in this movie. But
yeah, let's talk about the huge ass.
Oh, let's talk about the ass.
What ass? I didn't see any ass.
the entire running joke looking. Of this movie.
No, there wasn't a joke. Fine.
Go ahead, Gabe. Tell us about this ass. You brought it up.
There's a big old robot ass. I forget what the character's name is.
But Aunt Fanny.
Aunt Fanny, which like fucking
just Rodney really on the nose make that. The joke. Well, like Rodney asks him, you know, why do you call her Aunt Fanny? And Robin Williams goes, well, we couldn't call her Aunt Booty.
So it's like the humor isn't like great.
Notch. But goddamn it, did it make me laugh when I was like 9 years old or something.
This is humor for true intellectuals. Like, you have to be refined,
Gabe,
to get it.
I guess I'm in film school. I find comedy higher.
This movie made me laugh a lot whenever I was young. But yeah, the whole running joke is that there's this character called Aunt Fanny who takes in she has like her own little home for all these like outcast robots that they don't really have a home. And we're not joking. Look up a photo. She literally has half of her model is an ass. Is like a side
ass.
Is like a drag drag behind ass. It's literally trailer. Like hitched behind her.
It's a trailer.
It's a trailer. Like... And at the end of the movie, half the characters ride in her ass to get somewhere. It's like a trunk.
I mean,
right.
She got that trunk, you know what I'm saying?
Obviously, she and Big Weld, the other giant robot character, have to fall in love. Duh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But yeah, like they have a lot of fun with like the shapes of like the characters.
And that is something that I do want to talk about. The character design of these guys is actually really interesting and really unique. It's like this sounds really cliche, but every robot has like a unique design specific to their personality. Like, what is her name? Cappy.
Yeah, Cappy.
Cappy, she's like very, she's very tall, very, very slim and very sleek looking. Her hair is all like, is like sleek back and everything. And what's his name? The guy that takes over.
Ratchet.
Ratchet, yeah. Ratchet. He is very like square and angular, very like wide shoulders, down to like slim legs. What you would expect of like a businessman, you know. He's very, his model reminds me very much of
Patrick Bateman.
Patrick Bateman, thank you. Of Patrick Bateman. And Rodney is very like tall, a little bit lanky. Fender is a mix-mash of parts. He like parts are falling off of him all the time. It's really funny. Piper is like shorter and like scrappier with pigtails. And that fits her character for sure. They're all very unique, and I love that character design. A lot of like thought went into it. And in the scene in the boardroom, I love like that comparison to all these unique like outmoded robots, all their characters, versus when we like go into the boardroom for the first time, whenever Rodney like breaks into the boardroom, all these guys sitting along the tables with Ratchet and Cappy, are they all look the same because they're like trying, I guess they look like they were trying to model themselves after Big Weld a little bit, but they all look identical. Mm-hmm. So I love that juxtaposition, I guess, of all these businessmen versus all the outmoded characters.
It reminds me, I keep getting, or I don't know about keep getting confused, but it also reminds me of Meet the Robinsons a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
A similar kind of vibe, I feel like.
Definitely. Yeah. And I couldn't put my finger on why.
I mean, like, the transport system, like, in Meet the Robinsons is a bubble, and in this one, it's like, you get into this, like, ball that is like a Rube Goldberg machine that launches you all over the place, and like there's this very much like of like a joke of like weird things just kind of happen as like part of a joke.
And that's like the best montage of this movie is Rodney and Fender going through this giant like transportation machine. At one point Rodney like relaxes for a second and Fender goes, "Don't put your hand between your legs."
Like, why not?
That's really funny. Yeah, the transportation system is really interesting. The like the world is really interesting to like to study and look at.
I think also the world is very Meet the Robinsons-esque,
yes,
futuristic kind of.
Definitely. They really thought about how to make certain things, how certain things would change in the robot world versus our world. Because like there's a guy at the beginning, whenever Rodney's dad is running home, like the neighbor is like quote unquote mowing the lawn, but there's not, it's not actual grass, it's just metal, so he's like polishing the metal in his lawn, which I thought was really funny.
Yeah, like they do a lot of that with like for instance, like the payphone box is also an alive robot.
The fire hydrant is a live robot.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool.
Yes.
The we have to talk about the final fight scene of this movie. When all the outmodes break into this warehouse and Fender gets a Britney Spears moment.
Yeah, like full on dance number.
Randomly get like spotlight and Britney Spears and have them dance with like the enemies and like hit them with while dancing. It's,
yeah,
this movie just does whatever the fuck it wants.
There is zero fucks given in this movie, and I highly appreciate it.
Like, the only thing like that's it, like this movie, like the only part of this movie that I felt was like, I don't know why that was like a thing, is like the romance between the main character in Cappy, where it's just like, it very much is just like a, hey, here's a pretty lady, she's like, she's competent and cool, and they fall in love because they looked at each other for a few minutes and helped each other for it. Didn't have a single line of dialogue, really.
Here's what I kind of appreciate about it, though, is they didn't make them fall in love like super hard It was like they, oh, he kind of fell close to her when I'm in the office, and she kind of saved his ass from Ratchet. And they had like a moment when they went to see Big Weld together, but they didn't like fall hard for each other. It was like a, like, oh, we're just really close right now because of all the stuff we've been through. And there was like a kind of cute moment at the end where like they're dancing and they like land face to face to each other. But it wasn't like, it wasn't like, let me throw this in your face of, oh, these characters are in love now. Eat it.
Yeah. You know? It definitely is like a lot better than a lot of other shows that just go, here's a big makeout scene when you two haven't had a single conversation. Like, I at least get why these characters have a bond, at least.
Right. Their bond and relationship wasn't at the forefront of the movie. It wasn't the focus. It was, oh, this is like a natural slow building thing that happens sometimes, you know, when you're in these situations together. Sometimes you get kind of close to that person, you know?
Yeah.
Yep. I appreciated that about it. And I also appreciate that they didn't have Rodney and Piper get together, because Piper, we never know the ages of these robots, but it's implied that Piper is younger. I don't know how young. Rodney has to be in like his late teens, early 20s. I'd say early 20s, but we don't know how young Piper is. It's implied that she's at least a few years younger than her brother Fender. So I'm glad that they didn't have those two get together, you know?
Yeah.
I'm glad that they stuck with Rodney and Cappy.
One thing I also find very interesting is how they handle Big Weld and, like, how he's essentially just given up.
Yeah.
And, like, because, like, we meet him whenever they go to search for him, because they think, oh, if we get Big Weld, then he'll fix everything, which obviously isn't true, because capitalists can just do whatever the fuck they want. But, like, they find Big Weld and, like, they just find a bunch of dominoes, they knock it all over, and causes, like, a tidal wave, and Big Weld just comes in.
That, hang on, I have to stop you right there. That scene always confused me as a kid, because, like, whenever they walk in, it's a big room, it's like a big office room, but it doesn't seem like it's the massive, multiple football field size room that can handle all these fucking dominoes. It seemed like a stretch of the imagination, you know? And I didn't appreciate that.
It's definitely another moment of, they're just doing whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah, this is just because.
Because, like, Big Weld is just, like, he's given up, and all he's spending his time doing is just setting up dominoes just to knock them all over again, and just doing this tedious, repetitive thing because he can't, because, like, he just doesn't think there's any point in anything. He just thinks it's,
it's a very real thing. This movie was very real about it, because essentially the reason why he doesn't go back is because Ratchet is basically paying him to stay away.
Yeah.
Has basically set him up for life with whatever he wants in his office as long as Ratchet can run the company.
Yeah, and like the company's getting more money.
Exactly. The company's making more with Ratchet. And so, of course, the board is going to agree with Ratchet and just shove Big Weld to the side. So why would he come back, you know?
Yeah,
so it's, like, it's very real about that.
Like, dreams, like, hope, aspirations don't matter. It's about if you get money or not. And if you're a shitty person, people will back you, and you will get the space to do what you want. It's, like, it doesn't matter what, like, hopes, dreams, what's, like, what people want, or, like, morals at all. It's just
capitalism. You
need to make the money.
Yeah, it's capitalism, which is why I guess I appreciate why Rodney is like the, I know he's a robot, like the human aspect, or brings the human aspect back to Big Weld, and is like, hey, this is killing people. Hey, there are robots literally dying because of this.
They're right behind me, aren't they?
So, can you maybe get your ass together and save these dying robots?
Yeah.
So I appreciate that he was like a human aspect for Big Weld, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like also, how did y'all feel about Ratchet's mom?
That's a woman? Sorry. She's something.
It's a woman?
She is evil, creepy.
She's evil embodied.
Yeah, she hung her husband to the ceiling with chains.
We don't talk about that. She hung, let me say that again for the people in the back. She hung her husband from the ceiling in chains. And then by the end, hung her son up there too.
I mean, that was by accident because she
was
being
eaten by... I feel
like
that's really natural for our family.
What game?
What?
What'd you say?
Nothing.
I didn't hear you.
No, nothing.
Say it.
I said, I feel like that's very natural for a family to do.
Oh, yeah, you would think that, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
That's fucked. No. Yeah, this, like, she is very much the, like, because, like, Ratchet himself is all talk and is kind of pathetic and a coward. Well, the mom is the one who's, like, coddling him, telling him you're gonna do great things, like, mm-hmm. and basically be like, do this, do that, shut up and do what I tell you. And like, it just kind of like, I mean, it is very realistic. Elon Musk is a pathetic bitch, but yeah.
But yeah, no, you said it perfectly. The mom is the brains of the operation. The son is just the pathetic
face
of it.
Yeah.
He's the shiny face. And which here's an interesting comparison. Like, she's all about, like, getting rid of, like, the outmodes and the ugly looking scraps on off the street when she looks like one herself.
Yeah, she's rusty.
She's rusted and she looks a fucking mess.
She's just like a pile of parts. Like, there's very little, like, cohesion. Like, she's like, she has, like, saw blades, little, like, hooked, like, things on her. Like, it's like, it very much is her.
She also doesn't walk around. Like, she rarely walks. She usually gets, like, floated around in, like, a crane thing.
I don't know.
What is that supposed to mean?
I don't know.
Because you would expect her to be, like, super shiny and and brand new and everything. But why is she trying to get rid of the ones that look like her?
It's the hypocrisy of people like that, I guess.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it might also be like, because, like, she like, says, like, oh, my son is so shiny and new and perfect. Mm-hmm. And it's very much like, and like, he's better than everyone else, so he should get rid of everyone else. It's very much like a thing of, it's less about, it's more about boosting the ego of her son and by putting down everyone else. And it's very much like,
I guess now that you say it like that, it is not, it's not really about her. It's about her son. It's about pushing her son to the top of all of it.
And like, she just wants things to be turned into scrap. She just wants, like, it very much is just like, she's getting a lot of money. She's getting to, like, to be, like, rich through her son. And like,
toxic mother son relationship.
Thank God.
Yeah.
What do you mean, thank God?
What?
Do you mean?
I don't know. It's just like, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like usually, like, when there's like an evil, like, an even bigger bad, and like, and it's like a familiar thing, it's usually the dad.
True.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's fun, I guess.
Yeah. This is a fun movie. Gabe, do you have any final thoughts of this movie?
I mean, it's good. Like, it's a slept on allegory for capitalism that's very relevant in today's culture.
Definitely.
So, and it's, like, it's fun. I mean, I don't think it's an offensive movie by any chance.
Definitely not.
Like, the voice acting's pretty solid, and the animation's pretty good. So, like, it's typical Blue Sky. Like, most of their movies are pretty solid.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think that's the word to describe it as, solid. You know? This is a movie where you could put it on in, like, the background if you didn't want to pay attention to it, but also if you wanted to really pay attention to it and really get mad at capitalism, you could.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's great.
Like, this movie, like, it's like I said, it's, like, it's very straightforward, so there's not really much to, like, analyze or critique. There's, like, it's just, it does whatever the fuck it wants. It has fun and also has its critique that is pretty blatant and is very clear on, like, what it wants to say. So it's not really too much, like, to go over, and, like, the characters aren't that deep. The message isn't that deep, really. It's just, it is what it is.
It's blatant. It's like, here's the reality.
Yeah.
Take it or leave it.
Right.
You know? I love that about it.
How about you, Katie?
Um, I agree with everything you guys said. It's Blue Sky Animation is always going to be super solid. Voice acting, like we said, this is a loaded cast. It's, I mean, Robin Williams, Ewan McGregor, Mel Brooks, are you really going to go wrong with that? Great cast. Great message, but also super watchable and like easy, like easy to watch, you know? And even for something that has such a strong message, it's like easy to stomach, you know? It's a comforting movie, honestly.
Do we have any bits?
I have some bits for you guys. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Would you guys like to guess Ewan McGregor's bacon number?
Oh. You know what? I'm going with a one.
A one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm also going with one.
One?
You know what? Just because Jake's saying one, I'm going two.
You sure?
Yeah.
Locking it in?
Yeah.
Okay, good thing you did, because you'd be right.
Oh.
Ewan McGregor has a bacon number of two. He was in The Island with Matt McComb, who was in R.I.P.D. with with Kevin Bacon.
That's a future episode.
It all comes back to R.I.P.D., baby. Okay, let me get your scores in.
Hell yeah.
Are you guys ready for your random movie game?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I haven't gotten a chance to fully prepare this, but I think I've got a good review for you.
As all good pod hosts.
I'm so sorry. I'm the reason why we postponed this. I was having a bad day the day we decided to do it, and I did not get a chance to prepare for this, so I apologize. So, excuse me if I have to pause during this reading of the review, okay? All right, this is a 1 out of 10 star review titled Horrid, Not Horror, written by the user Shine67 on the 12th of March, 2005. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm near 40, and I just saw this movie for the first time last night. I had always wanted to see it because of the good things I've heard and due to the villain's place as a horror movie icon. I still think this is one of the most god-awful pieces of film ever. I know, for whatever reason, some people love this thing, but I found it to be a complete waste of time. Other users have claimed it had first-rate acting. I don't know what films they're comparing it to, but these actors are awful. As for gore, there's no more gore than half the other horror or action movies out there. The quote-unquote special effects are cheesy, except for the makeup. There were many movies out before this movie with higher quality special effects. In fact, these were so bad, I hate to even label them as quote-unquote special. Finally, I've seen scarier torture scenes in other movies made both before and after this one. There was no suspense or buildup of tension because I found myself laughing too often and it wasn't even silly enough to be campy. All in all, except for the makeup, the villain is a scary looking icon for a reason. This was total garbage. You want tension? Rent Halloween. You want suspense with gore? Rent Allen. You want suspense without gore? Rent the others. Just do yourself a favor and don't waste money on this. Extremely disappointing.
I think I have an idea.
Okay.
I'm gonna send in my guess. And if it's wrong, this is kind of a Hail Mary because I don't really know.
You locking it in?
Yes.
Can I get the what hints am I allowed?
You are allowed the year. I could give you, I could give you, I feel like the director might give it away.
Really?
I could randomly pick an actor out of this, a cast member, and give it to you. I could also give you its rating if you want.
Ooh. Okay, so now that you said the director is well known, I think I'm pretty sure I got it.
I don't know if it's well known. I don't know if he's well known.
What? So what's the year?
The year is, hang on one second, is 1987.
1987.
Did you? Oh, yes, you did.
1987.
Hang on. Okay, Jake has locked in his answer.
Yeah, I saw that. Let me double check the year on my guess real quick. Is it a sequel?
It is not a sequel.
It's not a sequel.
It is an original.
It's an original. And it's a horror icon from... I'm going to be mad at myself, I feel like.
Probably so.
Really?
Yep.
Damn. Mm-hmm. It's so, but is it like the first of a series?
This is the first, yes.
The first of a series. I want to be really mad at myself. Mm-hmm.
Come on, Night Swim.
Oh.
I think you got it?
Yeah, I know. I know what it is.
Yeah?
I know what it is.
Hang on, did you...
Do you want me to send it to you?
Would you? Yeah.
Okay.
All right. You guys ready?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You are both correct.
Hell yeah.
It is Hellraiser. This is the 1987 classic Hellraiser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really, took me a minute, but...
Really difficult, surprisingly, to find reviews that did not have, like, major spoilers in it. That review that I read had the year in it. I cut it out, though, feeling that it would give it away. But obviously, if I'd said the director, Clive Barker, would you have done it?
Yeah, I would have gotten it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't want to give you the director.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's well-known. I just figured
he's... Yes,
okay. Yes, he's like, this is like...
it's his book.
I figured that was his shtick.
Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't want to... That's why I didn't want to say it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this is the classic Hellraiser.
Hell yeah. I love that movie.
The first Hellraiser. Yeah, yeah.
It took me... I was like... I guess it's because I'm tired, but I'm like, 1987, like, that's a huge year for horror, so, like, why can't I think of anything?
Definitely.
And then I remembered the, like, I've seen better torture scenes in other movies, and I'm like, oh, wait.
Yeah. So, a little behind-the-scenes tidbit. The first movie that I rolled for the random movie was Carrie, but it was the 2013 Carrie. It was Carrie 2013, but I was trying to figure out, okay, how do I tell you that it's a remake? Because, like, if you guys had said Carrie, how do I specify? Oh, or have you guys specified?
I would have specified.
I'm sure you would have, but how do, if you guys had just said Carrie, how would I have been like, okay, sure, but which one? Because that kind of gives it away, you know? So that's why I'm switched movies. But good job, you guys.
Nice.
You both got it.
Hell yeah.
After a little bit of time.
Yeah, I was blanking. I don't know why, but.
I don't, like, whenever you said, like, horror movie icon, and especially with the makeup and, like, the look of the horror movie character.
Yeah.
I feel like, in, like, the torture scene, I was like, what horror movie icons are there where there are, like, torture scenes? Because a majority of them just kill people very shortly and quickly.
Right.
Unless, like, Saw, but he doesn't,
And, like,
Saw is a special case.
Or Hostel, but.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an icon from Hostel. It's
the like doctor guy.
Is he?
Or the German doctor from Human Centipede.
I'd say Pinhead is more of a icon than whenever you think of horror villains, you think Michael, Jason, Freddy, Leatherface, and Pinhead. Chucky, Pennywise.
Yeah.
That's what you think of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like Pinhead is like Hellraiser is like it definitely
All of which except Chucky and Pinhead we have hanging up on our walls right now.
Yeah. Thank you, Katie.
Of course.
Our games today.
Sorry I wasn't super prepared and it was a little bit choppy, but
still good.
Glad we got through it.
Thank you guys for listening to today's episode. If you like it, go follow us on all of our socials on Instagram and Facebook, bottomofthebarrelpod@gmail.com. If you so choose to send us an email, 2 L's on that and the Instagram. Follow us on TikTok and Twitter, and we will see you guys in the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.